Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 through 18. This is from the New Revised Standard Version. The link is right up there above the display if you want to follow along there, or you can just follow along on the screen. Listen for the word of the Lord. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare. Ryan. Ryan, we're in here. You shall not strip your vineyard bare and gather the fallen grapes. Give me a minute. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. And you shall not lie to one another. And you shall not fear. Give me a minute.
Ryan, we're out here.
You shall not steal, you shall not swear falsely, and you shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor.
Dada.
You shall not steal.
Daddy.
You shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind.
Daddy.
You shall fear the Lord. You shall fear your God, I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. And you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. And you shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word.
Daddy.
For your teaching.
Daddy.
That we should love our neighbors as ourselves. Please guide us as we listen, and please help Ryan to calm down so that we can do this. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Could you jump to the next slide, hon? Sermon's called The Rest is Commentary, Go and Learn. Next slide, please. We couldn't connect this properly because if I've got the clicker, Kristen can't control the PowerPoint. It's not like church where we have both of them and we don't have the bandwidth. Yes, you keep touching me. So Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 says, "Do not judge so you will not be judged." Two observations about that. First of all, not judging other people is really hard. We'll get to that. And second, it seems like that's the only verse a lot of people actually know. Like, if someone says, "Oh, I'm a Christian, and I don't think you should be doing that," the first thing they'll say is, "Well, doesn't the Bible say, 'Do not judge, lest you be judged'?" Well, yeah. So then they quote us, and then we feel convicted. But the thing is, oops, what's happening? Yeah, jump to the next one, yeah. the thing is, we really like judging people. I don't mean like we in the sort of general sense that I sometimes use, we like doing things, but I really mean other people. I mean me personally. I really get a lot of enjoyment out of judging people. Like, I'll go on Twitter and I'll read about things that various people are doing or not doing, and I'll just judge them and start feeling really good about myself. But the problem is, the second you tell somebody you're judging them, they get really mad and they start saying, well, doesn't the Bible say, do not judge lest you be judged? And then I get even more irritated. And I start looking for excuses to judge people. And come on, you don't need excuses. Have you seen the news? There are so many people who are just ripe for the judging. Yeah, so if you... Is that the next slide there? There we go. Yeah, you see what it says there. But Jesus, I really like judging people. And if you could zoom in on that screen, you actually can't. But if you could, you'd see it's a picture of me. It's really not. But if it was, if I'd had time, you'd be able to zoom in on that. If we had time, I could have photoshopped myself in there. But again, this is really hard to not judge people, because honestly, I started thinking about this while I was working on the sermon, and the very next day on Twitter, I was judging people. In fact, this morning, before I came in, I was just judging people, and it's so, so hard not to do, and it's such a really difficult spiritual exercise to not judge people. But look, here's one thing. If you skip to the next slide, we've got Jesus teaching about not judging other people. What happens right after you judge somebody? The judgment you make will... With the judgment you make, you'll be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. And that is such a good point. I think it's the next slide. Yeah, I think that's true, because the most satisfying kind of judging is when you judge other people for judging you. Like, I've never felt better about judging someone than when I thought that they were judging me, and I thought, how dare they judge me? And I'm, like, judging them for judging me, and you know, I think we could probably keep going with that and get a couple more layers where they're judging me for judging them for judging me for judging them and for judging me. It just turns into a mess, and you just get the layers of this, of judging people. Next slide. Whoa, okay. This is Newton's third law of motion, which is objects... no, that's the first one. What was the third law of motion? Newton's third law. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So if you judge someone, they judge you back. Next slide. How can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye while the log is in your own eye? And I was going to grab a 2x4 from the garage, but I just didn't have time. This one sometimes irritates me. In fact, most of this irritates me. Jesus keeps telling me stuff that I don't like. There's this idea that, well, before you judge somebody else, you should stop and examine maybe the fact that you're missing a lot of things. And again, like, this is especially true if I'm making an argument for justice or something, and someone will say, well, you know, clean your own house first, make your own bed before you try to deal with the social inequities in the world. And A, I don't want to do that, and B, I think it's also important to recognize that there's injustice in the world and try to work to resolve that. But I wonder if maybe the log that's in our eyes, some of us, is that we can't see what's keeping other people from seeing so clearly what we can see. Maybe the log, one of the logs in our eyes, is that we can't see what's keeping other people from seeing what we can see. My friend Jay Beatty will sign most of her emails, or at least had for a long time, with this line, everyone is fighting some kind of battle, so be kinder than necessary. Be kinder than necessary, because everyone is fighting some kind of battle. And goodness knows, right now we are all fighting some kind of battle. God knows, right now, we're all fighting some kind of battle with this being ordered to stay in our homes, and it's exhausting. For those of us with kids, it's exhausting because we've got the kids running around keeping us from getting anything done. And for those of us who don't have kids, it's exhausting because we've done everything twice already. Speaking of kids, if you didn't hear that, that was Ryan talking and running around outside. But yeah, we can't take the speck out of somebody's eye. Have you ever had somebody try to take something out of your eye? What's the first thing you do? You shut your eye so they can't get their fingers in your eye. They close it. Or you ever try telling someone a truth that they don't want to hear? Gosh. When you try to tell somebody a truth that they don't want to hear, they'll get really mad. So sometimes what we have to do is listen. Sometimes what we have to do is listen to other people and try to take the board out of our own eye. But there's the other kind of board, not just that we don't know what other people... Maybe we don't know what's keeping other people from seeing, which could be that we're just being a jerk about it. Proverbs says the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. Maybe the other thing is that we don't know. We might have a huge blind spot that we don't know about. Something that we should be doing that we're not. So that's in there as a possibility of things that might be the 2x4 that's sticking out of our eyes and keeping us from seeing clearly, to take the little speck out of our neighbor's eyes. And the truth is, we've all got 2x4s in our eyes. And we all have specks in our eyes that other people with 2x4s want to take out. But what it comes down to is, can you jump to the next slide? Jesus basically says, if that doesn't convince you not to waste your time getting into fights with people, try this one. Next slide. Nope, sorry, my bad. The previous one. Thanks. In case you haven't guessed, the screen and Kristen are over there. Do not give what's holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. So, if that won't convince you to stop getting into fights with people about stuff, maybe you could just be like, well, I'm not casting my pearls before you swine. And you can just calm down and focus on, like we talked about last week, seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Next. And Jesus wraps up this little section. I mean, honestly, this is the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, so about two-thirds of the way through. And Jesus wraps this up with, in everything do to others as you'd have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. And when Jesus says this, he is sort of echoing the wisdom of a rabbi named Hillel. Could you skip to the next one? He lived from about 110 BC to 10 AD, allegedly. We know he died in around 10 AD, but we don't have the exact birth date. Tradition says he lived to be 120 years old, just like Noah. No, not like Noah. Just like Moses. Next. Wait a minute. Go back. Sorry. There's this great story, and you can see, if you can look at the slide, you've got a guy standing on one foot. And there's this great story about Rabbi Hillel. There was a Gentile who was thinking of becoming Jewish, and he went to one of Rabbi Hillel's younger contemporaries, Rabbi Shammai, and he said, I'll convert under one condition. You teach me the entire Torah, the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible, which is sort of the essential part of the Bible for Jewish people. You teach me the entire Torah while I stand on one foot. And Rabbi Shammai had a yardstick, give or take, in his hand, and he chased the potential convert out of the room with a yardstick. The answer, of course, was no. And then the Gentile went to Rabbi Hillel.
Then the Gentile went to Rabbi Hillel, and he said, "Teach. I'll convert under one condition. Teach me the entire Torah while I stand on one foot." And Rabbi Hillel said, next slide. That's fine. Rabbi Hillel said, "That which is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That is the whole Torah. The rest is commentary. Go and learn. That which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow." Oops. "That's the whole Torah. The rest is commentary. Go and learn." And that's beautiful. And but at this point, that tradition has shown up for Jesus, who says, next slide, I think. Nope, not the next slide. That tradition has shown up by the time that Jesus shows up and says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's part of the tradition. And that is, honestly, one of the most beautiful pieces of Christianity that, and Jesus talks about this in other places, and he says that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And he says this is the whole summary of the law and the prophets. And then, of course, you get questions like, "But who is my neighbor?" And I'm sure that'll come up later. Ryan just walked in. Come here, kiddo. Come here. Come here. So, in conclusion, that which is hateful to you, you do not do to your fellow. That is the whole law and the prophets. The rest is commentary. Go and learn. Let's pray.
Amen.
God, we thank you for technology that allows us to connect with one another, even though we're all separated and apart in separate rooms. And we thank you for small children who remind us not to take ourselves too seriously. And for cell phones that go off while we're praying. Please guide us as we continue to deal with this pandemic and with our response to it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.